standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can sing. Yes, our hearts can sing.
Open your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning to the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 21, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7 in just a moment. This is the biblical account of the birth of Isaac, a fulfillment of a promise that God had made to Abraham when he was Abram, back when he was still in the land of Ur. God came to him and said, if you will get up and follow me, I will take you to a land. I will give you land. I will give you descendants of which will become a great nation. And I will make you a blessing to the nations. And Abram believed him, got up and followed him. Left the area somewhere we think over in Mesopotamia. Traveled to what we now call the land of Canaan, modern day Israel. And there he settled. And God reiterated this promise to him a number of times. One time went so far, especially on the birth of the child, the birth of a son, entered into a covenant relationship, promising him that he would give him a son. And now we come and we see the fulfillment of that promise. Today's message is much more about God than it is about Abraham or about Sarah or about Isaac, the child. This is about the nature of God and who He is. This is the consistency of God, the dependability that we can have in God, because God fulfills His promise here. He has fulfilled every promise He has ever made, and He will continue to fulfill every promise He has ever given, and they are many. But what we see when we see in this fulfillment of God's promise, we see again the insights into the character of God, the nature of God, the being of God. Who is this being we call God? Who is this being who sent his son, Jesus, to live among us, to die upon a cross, to raise him from the dead? Why does he do these things? And how does his consistency and the faithfulness he has to his promises that he made to his creation, how does that affect our lives? What does that mean to us? What does that give us in our lives day in and day out? These answers are revealed in this passage because we see the heart of God and we see the being of God and the character of God revealed. And let's read about that together now in Genesis 21, 1 through 7. And the Lord came to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At the appointed time, God had told him, and Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. She also said, Who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his old age. Now, again, here is the simple explanation and the description of the birth of Isaac, the son of Abraham and the son of Sarah. Now, what we see here is that God keeps his promises. God made this promise again to Abram many, many, many years ago. Now, Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. And in the interim time between the time that Abram left the land of Ur and came to the land of Canaan and settled there, God had made this promise over and over to him. He gave him land very quickly. Then it was much longer before we see him fulfilling this promise that I am going to give you children from whom a great nation will come. But now we see this happen. And what this tells us, if it doesn't tell us anything else, and it really tells us a lot of things, but if it doesn't tell us anything else about God, it tells us that he keeps his promises. He is faithful to his promise. Verse 2, and Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time God had told him. Really more miraculous than that she bore a son to Abraham in his old age at age 100 is that Sarah at age 90 bore a child. And she had long since given up on this. Some 13, 14 years before this, she had decided, and we talked about this in last week's message, she had decided that the only way that this promise was going to be fulfilled was if she took matters into her own hands, and so she sent her handmaiden, her Egyptian handmaiden, slave, sent her in to Abram, and Hagar bore a son called Ishmael to Abraham. And last week we talked about all the issues that created and the problems that came from that. But what we see happening about 14 years after the birth of Ishmael, we see the birth of Isaac. God kept his promise. And as the passage opens up about the birth of Isaac, it comes and it says, and God did what he said. Now that's an important thing for us to understand. Not only did God do what he said in this particular instance, but God did what he said every time he had said something prior to this. God has accomplished what he said he would do in every instance of everything he has said since this event took place. God keeps his promises. And what we have to understand is that the nature of God's promises are different. They're different than our promises. Now, when someone makes a promise to us, if I come to you and I make a promise to you, and I promise you something, you will value that promise on the degree to which you judge my character. If you think I'm a person of good character, you probably think there's at least a decent chance I will keep that promise, or at least I will do my best to keep that promise. If you think I am a person of low character, and no amens, please, if you think that of me, then that promise won't mean much to you. Now, we would look at this from our perspective, and we would say that the promise that God made to Abram or anyone else is directly related to his character. But I want to throw out another idea. God is such a being. He is who he is. He is God. He is creator. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He has all the other omnis wrapped up into this total being that we call God. And not only when he makes a statement is it true, when he makes a statement, something happens. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He formed us with the spoken word. God makes things with his word. And we have to understand that. And so when God came to Abram and promised him throughout their relationship from the time he left Ur until the birth of Isaac, when he came to him time and time again and reiterated to him and reminded him of the promise that I'm going to make you a great nation, you will have descendants. Even at the birth of Ishmael, no, this is not the child of promise. You are going to have a descendant from your wife, Sarah. And that is going to be the child of promise. This came to him time and time again, and it was re-instructed to him. When God makes a statement, then that promise has a nature of its own. It's not like our promises. Our promises are dependent upon our character. The promises of God themselves have a nature. And the nature is that when God has a spoken word, when God says something, when God makes a promise, that thing happens. It may not happen at the instant, like let there be light did, but it is going to happen. It is fulfilled. It is on the way. And we have problems with that. Sarah and Abraham had problems with that. They were impatient with God. They lost patience with him any number of times. They came to believe that Sarah would never bear a child. When she was 75 years old, like we talked about last week, she sent her handmaiden, her slave, Hagar, in to be with him so they, from a human perspective, could fulfill God's will, and completely miss the mark. And so it is with us. We become impatient with God. We don't understand God's timetable. God, you have made these promises to me, and I want my promise, and I want it now. And if you don't give me my promise right now, I'm going to hold my breath till I turn blue. Problem with that is God doesn't care what color we are. He has his timing. And his timing is perfect timing. He has wisdom that is greater than our wisdom. And we have to trust that. The other thing is our concept of time and God's concept of time is completely different. I have to admit this. My wife has a much more God-like concept of time than I do. When I think something is supposed to happen at a given time, I believe it's supposed to happen at a given time. And my wife has this concept that it's going to happen when she arrives. That's really how God works. And so I've got to give her that. But you see, God has this concept. And we get real impatient with God. You know, I hear people say on a regular basis talking about Jesus' second coming, the return of Christ that's promised us in the New Testament. Well, it's not going to happen because it's been 2,000 years and it hasn't happened yet. So that must be some sort of allegory or something. I said, no, not at all. The Bible says that time is irrelevant to God. A day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And so in his economy, it's only been a weekend since Jesus was here, since he left. And maybe he's coming midweek. We don't know. But he has a different economy. And that's the way it was with Sarah and Abraham. Now, another reason I think that God delayed the birth of Isaac to this point was so that no one could question God's participation in this event. Had she had a child when she was 65, that would have been incredible. Had she had a child when Ishmael was born at age 75, that would have been incredible. But now here we see that she has a child at 90 years of age. That is not incredible. That is miraculous. And why? It's because God wanted everyone to know that he was involved in this. That this, Isaac, was the child of promise. That this was his plan. That this wasn't just some weird fluke of nature where, you know, a woman who was normally some, you know, slightly beyond the childbearing years bore a child. He wanted everyone to know that this was his hand and he was involved and that he keeps his promises even though it requires a miracle. And God does that. That is in his nature. Because the promise itself has a nature of its own. Why? Because it is God's promise. And every promise God has given us in the New Testament, and there are many, they have a nature of their own. The birth of Jesus was a statement, was a promise that God had made. And it took a long time from that first prophecy to the birth of Jesus, but he was finally born in Bethlehem. He lived his life and he died upon a cross. And God promised that he was going to raise him from the dead. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and that miracle of God's word happened. Why? Because God had already said it. It was going to happen, and we need to understand that. And God's promises are so. Whatever promises God has made to you and me, the streets of gold, the victory of salvation, the joy of the Christian life, all of those promises that God makes to you and me, we can live as though they are fulfilled. They may not have happened yet, but they're coming. And that is where Abram and Sarai should have been, and that is where Abraham and Sarah go to. But we have to understand the same truth, the same principle holds for you and me today that was for them. God's promises are always kept. When God keeps his promises, when we see him keeps his promises, one of the results of that is our faith is built. Our faith is strengthened. Look at verses 4 and 5. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now, when you study the life of Abraham, all the way from Abram being called out of the land of Ur until his, you know, until his death at age 175, you see a dramatic line of demarcation. And that demarcation happens at the birth of Isaac. Up until this time, from the time God called him and he left the land of Ur, until the birth of Isaac, you see the faith of Abram going up and down. Sometimes he is a man of tremendous faith. He is a man of great courage. He depends solely upon God and he does incredible things by faith with God. At other times, not so much. He goes to Egypt and his wife Sarah is a beautiful woman and he's afraid the Egyptian kings are going to want her for his wife, so he's afraid they're going to assassinate him so they can take his widow from him. So he lies. That's my sis, my sister. It's not my wife. Don't kill me. And all kinds of bad things happen from that. Later, last week, we talked about the episode with Hagar, the birth of Ishmael, and Abram's lack of faith during that time. But from the time of the birth of Isaac through the end of his life, we see that Abraham becomes a spiritual rock. We see that his faith never wavers on that. A little bit further into this series, we're going to talk about Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son, his only son, to do away with the fulfillment of the promise that we're talking about today. But yet he had enough faith during that episode in the future. He had enough faith that he would somehow knew that God was going to provide, that God was going to make a way. He had seen God's miraculous hand work enough times in his life. No longer did God's plan have to make sense to Abraham anymore. Now he trusted God. His faith became solid. His faith became deep. Now he had to be, he got to be 100 years old before he figured that out. But that's what happened. It grew and it was solidified. And that's what God does with us. He solidifies our faith. Whenever we express faith and trust in him, whenever we believe his promise, although yet physically it may be unfulfilled, when we live a life of faith and we live a life of trust, And we believe that God is going to do what He has promised He is going to do in our lives here and in our lives hereafter. And when we live according to that belief system and that dominates our lifestyles, we will see the fulfillment of God's promises. We'll see little things. We'll see big things. We'll see God do all sorts of things in our lives that when we see them happen, we go, wow, look what God did. God showed up again. And we will see that time and time and time again. But if we never express faith, if we never trust Him, if we never accept the position that Abraham and Sarah accepted here, that God is going to do something that is beyond us, something that is out of my reach. He's going to do something I cannot do, but yet He's going to do it in my life, then my faith will never grow. I will never come to believe that next step will be solid and secure, that He is going to lead me where I need to go, and that the promises that He has made me, yet unfulfilled, are as sound as those that I have seen Him fulfill behind me. That's what our God does. He builds our faith. It grows. He assures us by His action, not just by His word, but by His action. He proved to Abraham that all of those times He had told him He was going to have a son from his body, from Sarah, with Sarah. He promised her time and time again, and He fulfilled that. And when that finally happened, the light came on in Abraham's brain, and he said, my God is faithful. He will do the impossible. He has done it. I'm 100 years old, and I have a little baby boy. My wife's 90 years old. She has a little baby boy. No one ever thought it would happen, but yet it did. And God does that with you and me. He does it. Do we believe Him? It will build our faith. It will strengthen our faith. And then the other thing it does for us is it brings unspeakable joy. This is a really interesting and cool passage. Look down at verse 6. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. Now, I don't imagine this happened during the labor of the birth of Isaac. But shortly thereafter, when she was holding that little boy, here's this 90-year-old woman holding this tiny newborn infant son. She's holding him in her arms, and she looks at him and she laughs. And actually, this is a reference back to something that happened in the 18th chapter, when maybe two years before this, three angels come to Sarah and Abraham. And they're outside the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're looking over it, and these angels come, and Abraham goes out and meets them, invites them into his tent. And they come in. The two of them go on down into Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the city and judge that. Again, we'll deal with that in a future message. But this one stays back. And this one says, about a year from now, I'm going to come back. God's going to send me back in a year from now, and I'm going to touch Sarah, and she is going to conceive and bear you a son. Now here she was around 98 years old, and she's 88 years old. She's in the tent. She hears the angels say this. Now this angel doesn't have wings. This angel looks just like a guy. And he is a guy, by the way. But anyway, he's in there, and she hears this. And her response is laughter. She laughs. She thinks the angel's lost his mind. She laughs. And angel says, what are you laughing at? She says, I'm not laughing. He says, you are too laughing. I'm not laughing. So they have, it's kind of this interesting exchange. And now he comes back in a year. She conceives. 9 months later, she bears Isaac. And she says, now I'm laughing. Every time I hold him, I laugh. I remember when I doubted God and I laugh at myself. I remember and I look in the face of the beauty of the birth of my son. And I laugh, laughter of joy. And she says, and everyone I tell laughs with me. If we got news that a 90-year-old woman was having a baby, we'd laugh. And this is what was happening. There is joy in the activity of God. There is joy in what He does. There is joy in fulfillment of His promise that is absolutely beyond our expectation and beyond our ability to perceive His goodness and the joy that He brings. Oh, what a good God we have. And Sarah says, who would have thought? Who would have thought that I would ever nurse a son? Who would have thought I would have given Abraham a child in his old age, not to mention mine? And this is the miracle and the joy that God brings to them. And this is the miracle, these are the miracles, and this is the joy that God brings to your life and to my life. Our God is a worker of miracles. He does things that are beyond expectation. He does things that are incredible. He does things that are beyond explanation. But that's what our God does. And when we look back in our lives and we see those things, oh, what joy they bring. Oh, how good it is for us to receive that and to celebrate those truths and that reality. God was good. He was good in the Old Testament, and He's better in the New Testament. Oh, how good He is to us that He sent His Son, that He raised Him from the dead, that He offers forgiveness of sin. He invites us to cross that chasm that sin brings, separates us from Him, and He bridges it with nothing less than the body and the blood of His only Son. Our God is good, and He says, come on, be with me. And that should bring us laughter. That should bring us joy. I am absolutely convinced that this passage teaches us, and many other passages in the Bible teaches us, that Christians are supposed to be happy people. There is no room for the sour-faced Christian. There is room for the joy that Christ brings. Why? Because God is good, and He brings joy into our life, and He makes us laugh.